Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, and I am excited about tonight's lesson. And so before we get into tonight's lesson, I want to make sure that I let you know a little bit of who we are. We are Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate and empower all to the glory of God. And so tonight, I want to make sure that those of you for the very first time, if you're listening, I want to welcome you especially and thank you for tuning in. And to thank the person that invited you or shared with you how to get here, I want you to thank them and ask them both of you to tune in again next week. Praise God. We'll have another inspiring word. And if by chance you miss any of them, you can always go to our archives on our website, and I'll give that information a little later. But thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. For those of you, praise God, that have been with me, praise God, can you believe we've been in this vein for 10 years, sharing the gospel, encouraging and educating and empowering people to do what God has called us to do. And you've encouraged me to keep me focused so that I can continue to be encouraged, that I can continue to educate myself, and then be empowered to make the changes that God gives me, and to been able to actually ask you to make those same changes and then be empowered to somebody else. And so I thank you, thank you, thank you for always tuning in, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, every 2 years, however you log in. I'm just grateful that you come back. And so I want to make sure that I always give you a warm shout out of praise. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I also have to make sure that I mention by name Jesse and Tammy Store. Praise God. If they are not the purest examples that I have been able to witness and encounter and work with for the years that, praise God, God has blessed me and graced me to be in their company, I just can't say enough to say how much I appreciate their walk. I appreciate, scary to say, even some of their struggles, because out of their struggles is one of the things they're going to talk about tonight, that they allow them to be boundaries for them to do more, you know, for them to minister to more people, to pray for more. And for us on the outside looking in, it is definitely a true testament of how we should live and govern our lives to be stewards for God. So I will always, always call them out by name and thank them for their leadership and their amazing commitment to the work of the kingdom. Now, the biggest praise that we all should have is to our Father. He's your Father. He's my Father. Whether you know it or not, He's your Father too. We always want to make sure that we start the broadcast off with an upbeat song. That's why I always play "When Jesus Says Yes, Nobody Can Say No." And when Jesus says no, nobody can say yes. But nevertheless, it always motivates me and gets me pumped up to do what God has called me to do. And so I'm grateful for that song. I'm grateful for Michelle Williams and all those that put that together, because it does something to my spirit. It makes me move. And so I'm grateful that we can start off with that to get us in the mood. And I thank all of you for tuning in. And then, praise God, I have to call Jesse and Tammy by name, and then we go to the Father in prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, Father, for being just God all by yourself. We thank you for allowing us to have an opportunity to know you and to get to know you. And because we get to know you, we get to have an intimate relationship with you. And so we thank you, Father, for the tools that you gave us so that we can mature that relationship. And that's your word. We thank you, Father, for it gives us the tools that are necessary and needed to walk on this path. And then you didn't stop there with just the word. You gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit governs us and tells us when to speak and when not to speak. And even when we don't know what to say, praise God, you give us what to say through the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you, Father, for all the assignments and the purposes of the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary for our behalf, so that we could have promise, that we could have protection, that we could have power, that we could have authority, that we can have everything we can possibly need on this journey because of the sacrifice he made for us. And he paid the ultimate price so that we could live with you eternally. And so for that, Father, we say thank you. And we want to always say thank you, because, praise God, we couldn't do it without you. So we're grateful that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, Father, we can have fruit that remains, and we can prosper, and we can do things that are according to your plan, your purpose, and use the gifts and the talents that you give us so that we can build up this kingdom, Father, for you. Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you, and we just thank you for all things. We ask, Father, that you be part of this lesson on tonight, and that you remove all distractions, that you allow your word to go forth, that we, or anyone, Father, for that matter, those of us that are listening tonight or listening years from now, will be able to have a rhema word, one that will meet them where they are so that they know what to do and how to do it and when they need to do it. We thank you, Father, again, for your precious blood and for covering this message and for allowing those that need to hear make the necessary changes to be empowered and then to use it and then empower someone else. We love you, we honor you, and we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so last week was Thanksgiving, and I gave most of you an assignment to see if you could start up a conversation with your family members and just ask, you know, what are some of the things we're grateful for that we take for granted? You know, and just listen to see what the conversation, you know, could be. Because it's easy to thank God for the sunshine, thank God for the rain. We thank you, Father, for, you know, allowing the family to get together and to make it here safely and all those that we normally thank God for. But, you know, would it be interesting to get other people's takes on what are you grateful for that you just don't commonly thank God for? Do we commonly just thank God that, you know, nobody's hacked our accounts, you know, our bank accounts? Do we thank God for allowing people to be in tune to God to create zippers and buttons and air conditioners and the heat, the water heaters to keep the house warm? Do we thank God that there's people that are willing to pick up the trash every week, that they don't think that job is so gross that they can't do it, but that they pick up our trash every week? Or how often we have our trash men to pick them up, that they do that with cheerfulness in their heart because, of course, they get a paycheck. But nevertheless, that's the job that they chose to do. And so we thank God for that. Do we thank God for just the things that we just don't think that, you know, the mosquito season was short? Whatever it is, let's start really thinking about the things that we need to be grateful for. Because I think we take God for granted at times because we just think automatically this should happen and this should be and this should work out the way that we thought it should work out. And so this week, in the midst of me being excited and doing the things that I thought, you know, was helpful to the kingdom, I had a situation where I became indignant, if you will. And so I didn't quite know exactly where to go with the lesson today. And I was wondering because I really kind of wanted to talk about it today. And so God helped me form it together with the message that I was already preparing that he gave me because we kind of ran over a little bit last week. We had a special guest, and I always like to leave steps, and I didn't get to do my steps last week. But praise God, he just told me I could do them this week. So I thought, well, Lord, how can I tie them together? And so lo and behold, little did I know what I was going to experience this week. But nevertheless, it first started with a dear friend of mine. She called. Well, I kind of told her some things were going on in my life. And so she told me to call, and praise God, we kept missing each other. But nevertheless, I talked to her. And she's one of those people, praise God, that I can always, always depend on. If I say something out of line or out of the way, she can always reel me back in. And so she was like, Lee, I don't understand. And then I have another girlfriend that often says this to me, too. Lee, you got all that word, you know, and you study the word, and you've been ministering a long time, and you've ministered to me on the same subject, and then you turn around and don't. And so my answer to them, of course, is, well, cause, amen, when I'm ministering, most of the time, it ain't me. And so, well, I shouldn't say most of the time. Yeah, it should be all the time, but nevertheless. It's not me. And because when I say, you know, Lord, you know, you be responsible for the lesson whenever I teach, especially the word of God, I want God to take over because I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's not listening. I don't know who's listening a year from now or a couple months from now that needs a rhema word. And I don't want Leah to get in the way. I want the Holy Spirit to minister. And so many times when I'm teaching and I'm doing the things that God has called me to do, I'm not of me, and so I'm still human, and I still fail, and I still make mistakes, and I still do things that are contrary to the word, but my goal, of course, is to do right, and so in the midst of me studying and reading, I can parallel myself to see, you know, in the areas where I fall short, but, you know, my flesh is always weak. Well, I shouldn't say always, but my spirit is always willing, but my flesh is sometimes weak. And here lately, it's been weak a lot. And so I was a little on the off side, I guess, when I talked to her. And I love when she starts in and she says, oh, Leah, then I know I either need to turn my recorder on because what she's about to say, I just don't have enough strength or speed to write all the stuff that she's pours into my spirit. And so this time I said, wait, and I got my recorder. And I said, you know, I said, I've been praying for a long time. And I said, I've been teaching on prayer for a long time. But the things that I'm going through is just difficult for me to put my words together. And I said, I'm trying not to believe that this crazy blocked artery that they claim is in my brain is the result of that. And she's like, Lisa, what are you saying? I don't know. Be careful what you allow to come out of your mouth, because you give life, remember? You give life to the words that you speak. And she said, no. She said, you should be angry. As much as you study the enemy, you should be angry at how he, I can do that. I said, I ain't trying to get no more visitations. Amen. Because, amen, I'm struggling enough. I don't want to provoke the brother. And she said, Leah, she said, you are the righteousness of God. And because of the righteousness, you got to stand on what you believe. And you got to tell the enemy that he does not have power over your body. So I knew I was in for it. So praise God. She starts her prayer. And I was like, wait. And she's like, this is what I would say if I were you. Nevertheless, y'all, the prayer changed my life. And so nevertheless, my children happened to be in the car. And so they were all glued and in tune. And so my daughter comes in my room. Well, since the time I talked to her, that was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember which day it was last week. But, you know, we've been going over blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, I'm righteous now. I got it together. I'm going to get my scriptures together. I'm going to get my confessions. And so I'm thinking and pondering, Lord, what do I do now? Because where do, and one of the sermons that I listened to over the weekend was, when you have challenges, you got to go back to the root. Now, my girlfriend that was on a couple weeks ago, she always said that too. You got to find a root. You got to dig it up, because many times you think about dandelions. If you just cut the top off what we think is the pretty, well, some of the kids think they're pretty flowers, nevertheless, pollen. But nevertheless, when you cut the top off, it'll come back because the root is still in the ground. There's still nutrients and things that are continuing to foster that dandelion, that it will come back. And so in order for them not to come back, those weeds, you've got to dig up the root. So I'm thinking over the weekend, you know, Lord, you know, help me get to the root. When was I the strongest in my walk? You know, when was I, you know, really walking in all the books? And, of course, we cleaned up a couple rooms in my house, and so, you know, several of the books that I studied, you know, revealed, and I thought, oh, Lord, okay. My nephew always says, when you're ready to be a student, the teacher will appear, and I thought, oh, Lord, everything is lining up. Oh, I'm so excited about the new walk, and I'm excited about, you know, where I'm going, and I'm going to talk to my body and get myself together. And then yesterday happened. I was in a I guess you would call it a major car accident. Praise God, we walked away from it. But nevertheless, it totaled my car, and it left me in a lot of pain again. And I thought, Lord, for real? For real. I mean, for real. And so I texted the same woman that gave me all, and she's like, Leah, she said, have you forgotten already? I'm like, no, I ain't forgot, but I mean, really, and she said, Leah, sometimes things just happen, baby, but you still got to walk in your righteous indignation. So praise God. That's the title of the topic for today, righteous indignation. And so I looked it up and figured out, okay, Lord, how do I tie this? Absolutely, I know how to tie this. Thank you, Lord. I love how you operate, and how many times, a couple years ago, a minister said to me, I told him, I said, you know, I'm frustrated with everybody associating my challenges with Job. I said, I'm not Job. I don't want to be Job. I mean, granted, they said that he was, but I don't want all the other stuff that Job had to go through. I didn't been through enough. And I said, if you're going to associate me with anybody, associate me with Joseph. I'm in the prison. I'm in the pit, back in prison. And okay, I can associate with that. I can think about what it must have been like to be in the dark and all that. And I said, I'm looking for the palace. And he said, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah, I really am. I want to be well. I want to get out of this, and I want some jewels and some power and some stuff that goes on with the palace. And he's like, no, you don't. He said, because you give it away. You let people, you know, you serve the those that are in transition. You know, you feed those that are hungry. They'd be at the palace. You wouldn't be there by yourself. And I said, yeah, but then I wouldn't be struggling so bad. And he's like, do you really believe that people that live in the palace don't have problems? you know, you are a kingdom-minded person. The enemy is going to come after you as often as he can. And so then I thought about it. Okay, Lord. He said, because he reminded me, he said, Lee, even in the midst of all the things that you've gone through, you still minister the word of God. I literally am hurting from the top of my head to the soles of my feet from that crazy accident yesterday. But it wasn't going to stop me from doing my ministry tonight because whatever. I know that God's grace is sufficient and that he was going to give me what I needed to study and praise God. He had me do quite a bit of it beforehand, and he already had that righteous indignation already inside me, praise God, so I could minister from experience, not something that I've heard about, but I can talk about it and tell you exactly what it's doing for me. So praise God, it will do something for you and minister to you in the right way. But nevertheless, I am reminded that God does deliver. And though we did a play, and one of the lines that I had was, we may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It does. It does. Now, I am looking forward to the time where I can walk outside of my door and not have any pain. Now, when that happens, amen, you're going to know about it because I'm going to be all over everywhere. But nevertheless, but even if it doesn't, I still know that I have an assignment from God's kingdom, and I have to be about kingdom business. And so that's never going to stop me until God takes me home. But nevertheless, in this moment, I have this righteous indignation. And this righteous indignation, if you look it up, it talks about a typical reactive emotion of anger over perceived mistreatment, insult, malice of another. So basically, it's a sense of injustice. And then one other definition says that it can be considered a positive thing when someone with this type of anger is on the right side, or when someone feels an adrenaline rush when thinking about a situation that is not morally fair or right. It must not be confused with self-righteousness. Of course, self-righteousness means that I feel superior to somebody, and praise God, that is definitely not the case. But nevertheless, I am driven by a contempt. And so it says that when you are driven by a righteous indignation, you are angry because you are disgusted at something that you perceive to be morally incorrect, because a sense of morality is kind of attached to our indignation, and we have a form of anger. Now, when you look up the word anger, anger means a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Anger is an emotion that is characterized by an antagonism towards someone or something you feel has deliberately been done to you or is wrong. Anger can be a good thing, and it is given to us as a way to express negative feelings or motives, or to help you find solutions to problems. But of course, excessive anger can cause problems. So now, one of the coolest things that I liked was, I'm so sorry, my favorite listener is calling. Hold on just a moment. Delia, call Gren. Trying to get in and she can't, so I got to make sure I pause to her. But nevertheless, one of the things that I really wanted to stress on with this anger bit is the part where it says your anger can cause you to be motivated to find a solution or a problem. I want to pin that because that's going to be the basis of our lesson. But for most people, when we anger, it usually is developed from an unwanted response or action of another person, and sometimes it can be from yourself. But it's usually disrespectful, demeaning, threatening, or it's a form of neglect. And I like that when you look up these words, and again, talking about thanking God for things that you just don't thank God for, I love, love, love Google. Well, not just necessarily Google, but I love the opportunity that we have to research information and that it's at our fingertips. There was a time when people had to go to the scrolls. Or, I mean, even in my lifetime, which is not nearly as long as the scroll days, but we had to go to a big book. I don't know if many of you that are listening that have been ministering for a while, a concordance. That's what we had to go to. That we praise God for that, but it was so heavy and so big because it had all the words that you could find scripture references to. And so it was time-consuming because you had to get this big book, and then you had to look, because, of course, it didn't have the scriptures listed, so you had to go. Nevertheless, I'm grateful that we can access information. And so when it talked about anger, it talked about there was different phases of anger. And so one of the phases, the five phases, now it's probably more, but this is the one that this article listed. It was trigger, escalation, crisis, recovery, and depression. And so understanding those cycles helps you understand how you react to those things. And so for one, I know of those five, triggers, recovery are probably my two. I don't deal with crises anymore, escalation and depression. Praise God. He blessed me when I got delivered from the darkness and all that whole hoo-ha. And I really understood my assignment of the enemy. I realized that those, the depression and the crisis and the escalation, it wasn't healthy for me. And so I learned how to be delivered for that. But now I still have triggers, amen. And I still have challenges with sometimes the recovery, because I haven't quite learned how to file those, because I don't want to file anything. And so because I'm the type of person that's black or white, it either is on or it's off. I don't quite deal with that in between. My father kind of raised me that way, and then I took the Bible literally when it was, you know, let your nays be nays and your yays be yays. You know, that in that gray, I don't necessarily do. I like the color, but I don't try to walk in that. And so if I want to deal with it. I want to deal with it then and there and be done with it. And when I'm done with it, I'm done with it. And so sometimes that confuses people that I interact with, because they're like, it's almost like when you whoop a child, how you're angry and they want to love on you and go get ice cream. It's like, dude, I just beat you. What are you doing? It's almost like that. When I'm done, I'm done. So nevertheless, I wanted to understand, because I thought, Lord, if you're bringing this to me, help me to understand my triggers and help me to understand how to fix this recovery, because I don't want to live in a place where I give access to the enemy. There's so many things going on in my life that I got to close these doors. I got to find the root of where these doors are being opened. And so I had to understand, what are the negative effects? Anger. And one of the coolest things that I found in this article, it says, anger creates energy surges, and when energy surges occur, there's chemicals that happen in the body. Your adrenaline enters your bloodstream. It causes your heart rate to increase. It causes the blood flow to increase. It causes your muscles to tense. And so this is not effective for me, because I have had challenges with my blood pressure. And so I can't allow triggers and the recovery and all the other phases that they claim that deal with anger to be a platform for the enemy to use to springboard other things to happen in my life. And so how do I learn how to use this appropriately? So first and foremost, I had to recognize anger. Is this something that God really requires of us, or did he give us this? And so it's part of the emotion. And so because we are made with, we have a soul, and our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, anger falls under that platform of emotion. So God gave us anger, but it's to be used correctly, because normally we think anger is all negative, because most times when people are angry, they respond in negative ways. They throw, they hit, they, you know, scheme and all that. But there are ways that you can use anger as a platform to cause you to pause. It's almost like it's a caution sign. It causes you to take notice of what's going on. And then as the definition earlier we said, it gives you a template, if you will, to move and bring things back into focus, make things balanced in your life. To give you an example, remember when Jesus was angry with the Pharisees for hardening their hearts? He had no desire to hurt them, but he had great compassion for them, and so he wanted them to be right. And so sometimes we get thinking that anger is a bad thing. A lot of times we can use it for to create right environments give you an example, Martin Luther King. He had a righteous indignation about the system and how it was treating people of all colors, how we were not operating equally as if we were to follow, quote unquote, what the forefathers put together, although with further study, we learned that they weren't necessarily talking about all people, but the scary thing that I thank God for, God knew. And that's why we have to be mindful, those of us that are voting in Georgia still, we have to make sure that we are doing what God is leading us to do. And at the end of the day, we have to believe whoever is in office, God is ordaining that because he knows how he wants his system to run. And if those of us that are praying and believe our prayers are being answered, then praise God, we got to pray for our system. We got to pray for our government. We can never not stop praying for our government officials. Many times we get caught up and we only pray for the people in our homes and those that we're connected to. You got to develop your ministry and your prayer life. You got to pray for other people. You got to pray for your, okay, amen. This is a commercial, amen. But I just want to make sure, because God laid that on my heart to share. You always want to make sure that you have what you used to call it centric circles or centric circles of influence. And so you always want to pray for your family, of course. And then the outer ring, then you want to pray for those that you're familiar with, like your neighbors and your coworkers. Then you want to pray for the community. And then, of course, there will be like your firemen, your police officers, all those people that are part of the community. And then you want to pray for the government. And then you want to pray for other countries. And then you want to pray for ministries that are operating outside in those outside countries. And then, of course, then you pray for the world. So you always want to make sure that you, every prayer, maybe not every prayer, but at some point during the day that you pray for your centric circles of people. Amen. That was your commercial for the day. Okay, now going back. So we have to be mindful that Jesus had compassion for us all, but he still was a little angry with why we didn't do the things he called us to do. And so it's almost like I'm sure he had some righteous indignation moments with the disciples, because it's like, okay, you a little faith. I mean, I just told you what to do. I'm asleep, and you worrying me about this storm when you know and you see the miracles that he, I mean, firsthand. And still, their faith is weak. And so it made me think, okay, Lord, wow, here I am. I've seen your miracles. I've seen your ways, but I'm still operating in little faith. Help me to understand. And so he's like, well, get your scriptures together, because you always want to make sure that when you're going through something that you have the word. The word is your key. Amen. It is the key to unlock everything that you could possibly need to help you on this journey. And so I'll read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to zone in on the main one for the lesson that brought me to back to reality after I had that accident yesterday. But nevertheless, but you, this is Psalms 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And so what does that tell me? That tells me that I can be angry, but I just need to be slow about it. And then abound in love and faithfulness. So I have to develop my love. So how do I see love in the situation that I'm going through? Okay, Lord. Whew. Amen. It could have been worse. When we slid into that car, praise God, we could have been decapitated. I mean, my children could have been thrown out, ejected out of the car. Praise God. None of that happened. The way the car looks like it could have happened. But nevertheless, we were faithful. God held us. And so the next scripture, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. That's Proverbs 14:29. Yes, I can be angry, but if I have great understanding, which most of the times I do, I try often, and that's why I am quick to repent for things that I've done. I got to know about it, though. Praise God. So if you never tell me, I can't repent for something I don't know about. But I try to make sure that I have a better understanding, and now I'm more able to even control my conversation because, again, so much has happened to me in the last few years, or last 2 years, I should be even more specific, to really monitor my words. And so when I'm monitoring my words, I have to, that means I'm trying to have a better understanding so that I don't have to respond in anger. And then definitely don't want no hasty temper. Amen. Because I know that that creates more drama, more windows, more doors for the enemy to come in. And so one of the things that I'm going to definitely work on more often is making sure it says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So even though I may not be angry, something I may say may cause someone else to be angry. So I need to make sure that I am monitoring the words that I'm saying so that it doesn't require the other person to operate in anger and frustration and confusion, because eventually something will be said. Even if I'm in my mindset of balance and composure, it could affect somebody around me, but it was still provoked by me. And so I have to be mindful of that. And so, again, I'm trying to close all windows, all doors around me to prevent the enemy from having access. Another scripture, a hot temper stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. So we can have this emotion. I'm not saying that you don't. You'll never have a time where you'll be angry. Yes, yesterday I was extremely angry for a minute. I'm like, Lord, for real? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm just getting over some of this stuff. And an accident now with Carlos? Okay, help me, Jesus. And we got to wait till January for our insurance to start. So how are we going to go to the doctor? I mean, I was not hot-tempered, and I wasn't hasty in my temperament, but I was confused. I was confused, Lord, why does this keep happening? What am I doing? What doors am I opening? Help me. But then, praise God, again, going to the word. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the hearts of fools. Like, okay, Lord, amen. I'm getting it. And then Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, I could have been angry because the reason why we were in the accident is because there was a guy just walking on the freeway. And because he was walking on the freeway, I guess it alerted so many people that they called the police. And so the police came, and they kind of blocked off traffic. But the way that they kind of did it was weird because there's a place on Highway 20 on the freeway that coming up on that hill, you can't see. And when you came up on here, I mean, it was like everybody in the pack in front of us all went to the right fast because, of course, you know, Atlanta freeways, everybody had to veer to the right. And so because I would have been free had the person in front of me didn't slam on brakes and just kind of went with it like everybody else, it caused a domino, and there was four cars that were in this accident. But nevertheless, I could have been angry, but I was grateful that God blessed me because my focus at that point was my children. You know, Lord, are they okay? Blah, 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 blah. You know, we'll just keep, you know, keep it moving. And it's like, no, Mom, you need to come. I'm like, no, I'm grateful. God's got me. I want to make sure that you guys are great and that you're safe, whatever. But if there was anger and bitterness, and I didn't already have that wonderful prayer that my girlfriend gave me. And I shouldn't even call my girlfriend. She's more my mentor. But had God not set me up, praise God, I could have been real bitter, could have been really angry because technically in my heart, I really kind of believe the police were partly responsible for some of that because they didn't give anybody a ticket. They said that it was, you know, just an act to get out of the way because it was kind of crazy, but they did arrest the guy. But nevertheless, it could have caused me to be very bitter because I'm like, Lord, I'm getting on the right track. I had a plan. I had, you know, decided this is what I'm going to do to get myself together because I was lining up my prayers and all that from just Friday, just Friday. And then Sunday, wham. But I love the scriptures because it says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And that was Ephesians 4:26. And then now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. We have to make sure that we are monitoring what we're doing because the enemy kills, steals, and destroys. And I know that for certain. And so I know that he knows that I'm lining myself up and that I'm getting myself together because I'm tired. I'm tired of the doors and the windows and the cracks, because I think I got most of the doors closed. I think I got most of the windows closed, but there's a crack somewhere, and I got to find it. And when I find it, amen, the Bible says that when you resist the devil, he has to flee. And so he's going to have to flee, and he's going to have to, you know, move away. But nevertheless, I have to make sure that I do my part, that I put my covering on, that I do what is necessary for me and keep my mind focused on the things of God. And so I love, love, love these last two scriptures. Is know this, my beloved, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. I'm going to say that one again. Know this, my beloved, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If we keep our hearts and our minds on the things of God, of love, and then praise God, we can do the things that God has called us to. And so, which leads me to our last scripture for tonight. Well, maybe not completely the last scripture, but the last scripture I'll focus on is Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called into one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3:15. Now, the funniest thing, that was the last scripture that God gave me to highlight on tonight for the lesson part, was because I learned that scripture when I was probably 10 or 11 years old. And it was part of our, we called it YPWW, Young People Willing Workers. And we used to say that every day, I mean, every Sunday. Well, we said it more than that because we was in church all the time. But nevertheless, I remember, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, so that you are called into one body, and be thankful. It goes back to last week when we talked about being thankful at all occasions. It is necessary. Even in the midst of that accident, there was so much for me to be thankful for. Nobody died. There are so many fatalities on the highways in Atlanta. But praise God, we weren't one of them. Amen. And nobody that we interacted with yesterday was in it. It shut the highway down for a little while. But nevertheless, nobody was hurt. Nobody, you know, had wicked things to say. A couple people were rude to the police. But nevertheless, they were all concerned for us. You know, they were, you know, concerned for us getting the car off the highway. They was like, no, you need to leave it here. And it was like 10, 15 firemen, police. I mean, we were cared for. We were cared for. And so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And so even in the midst of me feeling, I don't understand why, I had to remind myself, the higher than mine, and his will is definitely higher than mine. All I'm required and supposed to do is to make sure that my mind, my will, and my emotions are lined up with him. And if my mind, my will, and my emotions are lined up with him, then I can be thankful, and I can allow the peace of God to rule my heart. Okay, yes, I'm hurting a little bit, but praise God, he's working that out. I had a lot of stuff planned for tomorrow, but praise God, he's given me peace and be able to figure out how to get those things done. And so it's just, we have so much to be thankful for. And so last week, I wanted to share with you the steps that God gave me for last week, but applies for this week. First and foremost, especially when we're thinking about things, what we should be praying for and including in our prayer time, is that we have to make sure that we are always thankful that we are part of God's creation. He could have stopped with Adam and Eve. He could have stopped with the animals. He could have stopped with just the lesser light and the darker light. I mean, the greater light. He could have stopped there, but he thought enough to allow us to come to the system and then to make us in his image. And so we are made fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. That is something to be thankful for, first and foremost. And I think sometimes if we thought more about that, we wouldn't think about some of the other crazy things that happened to us. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and God had a plan and a purpose for me because he created me. However you got here, I watched a couple movies, and one of the movies, somebody was adopted, and they were talking about, you know, it doesn't matter how you got here. What matters is the assignment that was given to you for you to be here. And so if we don't focus necessarily on how and the whys and the whens, but to just know, you are made for a purpose, and God gave you everything you need to accomplish that purpose. And if we think that highly of ourselves, not self-righteous, but to think we are righteously made into his kingdom for purpose, then maybe we wouldn't get caught up so much on who said this or who did this. Our anger, we would be slow to anger, because if it's not part of our plan and our purpose, what difference does it make? Keep it moving. The next thing we need to be grateful for is not only because he created us, but he gave us the opportunity to have relationship with him. He could have, again, created us and just let us see how things were going to work out, but he provided an opportunity for us to commune with him. He gave us an opportunity for us to feel his presence, to live and to dwell inside of us. Amen. He lowered himself to become human so that we could have a piece of him when Jesus left. But not only that, the sacrifice that Jesus made on God's behalf, to take all of that on him, when he's, omnipotent, he allowed himself to go through all of that just so we can have a life with him and then have power and authority over all of the elements that we have. And that is something to be thankful for. Amen. Then we have to be thankful for, even because we were born in a system we were born into to sin, that he provided an opportunity for us to be forgiven, that we could be born again and have salvation, and then know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what we've done, no matter who we did it with, praise God, God forgives it all. We just got to ask for forgiveness. And when he gives his forgiveness, it's forever. It's not temporary or it doesn't have contingents like we do on other people. You know, okay, I'll forgive you if you, that ain't God. God forgives, it's over. Keep it moving. Just don't do it again. Amen. And even if you do it again, amen, he still provides a way for you to ask for forgiveness. But we got to be thankful that he gives the opportunity and gives us grace to be forgiven. And then my favorite, of course, is Jesus. He didn't have to dumb himself down to come and be amongst us so that we can get the keys back from the enemy. He did that. He walked in the light. He is the light. Praise God. And because of that, it cleansed us from all sin. So we have to be grateful that God allowed himself to come to this planet and to live amongst us so that we could have the opportunity to be born or created in his image, to have a relationship with him, and then to forgive us. Amen. And we thank him for doing the ultimate sacrifice. And then, of course, the things that I always say in my prayers, and I try to make sure I always say that because I am, I'm overwhelmed by his word. I mean, I think I've had the word my whole life, and I should say my whole life. Well, I guess I have. It's been here. But nevertheless, I had a Bible, I'll put it that way, from a little child, but didn't understand its power until it hadn't even been that long, maybe 10, 15 years. I didn't really understand the effective weapon that I have in my Bible. Your word is amazing. And so if you read it just a little bit, amen, and just memorize a couple scriptures, I often laugh when people's like, well, you know the word. Well, I really don't. And he's like, yeah, but you said, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, once I was delivered from believing, I had to know chapters and amen. Like I said, I'm grateful for the internet. I'm grateful for Google. I'm grateful for all these websites and articles and books. I'm grateful because studying God to a whole nother level. I don't have to memorize that, and I don't have to let nobody make me feel bad about it. If you don't know the word, praise God, you got it at your fingertips. A lady once told me, she said, you have the Bible is in your pocket. Amen, it is. But now, praise God, I'm still an avid believer in memorizing scripture because there's a time you may not be able to get a pocket or even have a pocket to put the word in. You need to have it in your head, amen, in your heart. But nevertheless, praise God, be thankful for the word because it gives us everything we need. It is our living word. Amen. You got to be grateful for the word. You got to be grateful for the Holy Spirit. Of course, you know, I talked about that. You know, if Jesus had died on that cross, you know, amen, we wouldn't have been able to have a piece of him. Amen. But praise God, the Holy Spirit dwells and lives on the inside of us. And I think if we would remember just a few of these tips that I talked about, it would cause you to run to see what the end is going to be. It will cause you to get out of the bed and do the assignment that God has for you. Because praise God, as soon as I turn this button off for off and put that music on for my granny, praise God, I can get back in the bed. Nevertheless, I still completed my assignment. Saints, there is no reason why we can't do the things that God has called us to, because he equips us. We have the word that shows us what we need to do to stand on and believe, and then the Holy Spirit doing the super to put on our natural. Amen, 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 amen. The next thing, and I'm almost finished, is we have to be thankful. We're never alone. Never, ever, 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 ever alone. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we gotta believe that. We gotta believe he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so even in the midst of that accident, you know, I didn't trip, because I know that God showed me what he showed me, and it ain't happened yet. So I knew that it couldn't have been the end. Amen. I knew he was gonna allow me to, you know, to move. I'm banged up a little bit, but praise God, I still can do the assignment he gave me. Why? Because my assignment is not complete. And so when I complete my assignment, then praise God, for getting an accident down there, you know. Amen. And see, but nevertheless, he said I can live as long as I'm satisfied. So praise God. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I believe that. I believe that. And more importantly, even in my righteousness of the indignations, the reason why I can do that from time to time is because of the power and authority he gave me. Luke 10:19. Amen. We got to understand that we have the power and the authority that God gives for us to trample on scorpions and serpents and to cancel every evil, wicked thing that the enemy throws at us. Of course, we have to abide in him and be obedient, because that just don't work for just anybody. You got to be right standing. Amen. But I know, praise God, because I believe, and I'm doing what I believe God has called me to do, I know I have power and authority. And so there is something that must be, you know, interfering. And so in order for me to get that right, I got to find the root. And so I'm going to leave this last scripture with you, Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Saints. Amen. You got to believe the word of God, and you got to be thankful. You know, we can be angry about some things, but we just can't sin. And we have to slow down and think about, what is the root of this? Why am I operating this way? Why am I acting this way? Why are people acting this way around me? And then put it to the word and ask God to show me where I need to get myself together. And I know for me, it has to be my tongue. And so even though I'm not speaking as often as I used to, it's seeds that have been planted that I have to repent for, so that them seeds can be plucked up, because them some weeds that are affecting my situation. And so I got to find the root of those things, dig that up, and keep it moving, because, you know, I got stuff I need to get done. And so, Saints, I'm sure there's things in your life that's hindering you. And so I believe that God is wanting all of us to seek within. Ask God, what is hindering me from growing, from moving forward, from doing this or doing that, whatever it is, and then let him reveal it to you. And then find scriptures to help you combat that. And then ask God to help you if you need to do it, or if he can just do it on his own. Sometimes we have to put some action to whatever it is that he calls on us to do, to remove a situation, to dig that root up. But nevertheless, whatever it is, ask God to forgive you for that. Because, praise God, that's what Jesus died for us to have the availability. Wherever we are, Lord, I repent. Take this away from me. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, give me a scripture in mind to come into my focus, in my heart, my mouth, and my mind, so that I can say those things when those spirits or those situations come, those feelings, those emotions. Help me to die to that, so that I can be about your business and be about his business. And I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, things will get better. They will get better. Now, I could keep going because, you know, I love to talk. And so I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. And so last week, I didn't get to play my granny song in time. And I have another friend that likes to hear a song. And so I got to make sure that I get it in before the show ends. So please tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word. And then we close the broadcast off. I had to put it up. Well, my granny's favorite song, she's my number one listener. And so she loves Every Praise Belongs to God, and it really does. And so we want to make sure that we sing those praises to God and give him thanks. And remember, find the root of your situation, give it to God, repent, and keep it moving. Amen. Be about your business. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Remember, remember, remember to always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful night. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? Your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship
is one accord.